Jake Beauchesne after making the play. It was kind of a slow motion fall there as Beauchesne was trying to hold up and he fell down. Either way, it's an out and keeps the runner on second base. So no harm, no foul with a little bit of fun going on in the outfield. Still 2-0 though, Green Bay in the top of the third. And let's go finish up that scoreboard over in Waterloo. It's 1-0 Bucks over the Rocks in the top of the fourth. Top of the fifth in Wilmer, it's 2-1 Stingers over the Big Sticks. First pitch on the way to Parker Martin is called on the outside edge for strike number one. 0-1 the count. In Mankato, it's 6-1 Minot. Hot Tots got the lead. 0-1 the count. And now the pitch on the way home from Schultz in there for strike number two. 0-2 the count. Bottom of the fourth in Mankato, by the way. Bottom of the fifth in Rochester. It's tied 3-3 between the Honkers and the Express. In Lakeshore, it's a 4-2 Chinooks lead over the Dockspiders in the bottom of the fifth. And the 0-2 count to Martin just misses away for ball number one. 1-2 count. So that is the out-of-town scoreboard. And runner still on second base here back in Wisconsin Rapids. That runner, Colin Helms. And the 1-2 count is fouled out of play by Parker Martin, so he does stay alive at the plate. Martin, 1-for-1 in the game. He doubled back in the second inning. That was his only plate appearance so far. Did so on a 2-0 count. Now with a 1-2 count, hoping to work on any way that he can. Schultz looking back to second. Now brings the pitch home. It's off towards shallow center field and will get on by and drop for a hit. That is an RBI single as Parker Martin picks it up. It's his second hit of the game. Colin Helms all the way around, and it's 3-0 Green Bay here in the third. Well, all of these runs going to be unearned here after the error. Actually, not quite. No, they're not all going to be unearned. I'm mistaking that. But before that, it will be a mound visit as Schultz maybe did get a little bit rattled by the error. It was on Colin Helms' infield single that ended up sending home two runs. That last run will be unearned at this point in time. However, the other two will be earned. If another hit comes around, then that will make Helms' run earned as well. So runner on first base with two outs in the top of the third inning. Parker Martin off to a 2-for-2 start, a double and a single. And hey, that's halfway to the cycle, although the two hardest parts are up next for him. And we saw earlier yesterday, man, Taylor Freeman had himself a game against the Rafters. A perfect 5-for-5 with a walk. And runner taking off from first, but it's fouled back by Lancaster. Brings it 0-1. Taylor Freeman against the Rafters in game number two last night. He had a double, a single, and then a home run through the fifth inning. And then he had three more plate appearances, but wasn't able to get that triple. He only had a walk, a double, and a single after that point. 0-1 the count on the way home, and that is in there for strike number two. And Kenny Schultz hoping to go a little bit longer into the game, but it hasn't been his best inning here. And pitch count up to 23 on the inning. On the game, 52 total pitches. 0-2 the count, runner taking off, but the ball is hit into right center field, and that gets down. Here comes Parker Martin over to third base, not picked up in right field, and now they're sending Martin home. The throw coming in, the tag not in time, and it's another run scored by the Rockers. So a single from Lancaster, and interested to see if that'll be an error on Rafters right fielder Carson McIntyre. He couldn't quite pick it up at first. We'll see what it goes down as. Nonetheless, it will be a single for Lancaster. He stays on first base. And now he's taking off at first. First pitch on the way to Kaysen Consarina is outside for ball number one, a 1-0 count. Officially, that's just going to be a single, so no error on that one. As Zage Lancaster picks up an RBI on his hit and then took off to second with a stolen base. Second pitch to Consarina misses for ball number two. 2-0 the count. Consarina, right-handed hitter from UCLA. It's a righty-lefty matchup with Schultz on the mound. 2-0 count. In there for a strike, it's 2-1. Consarina 0-1 in the game. He flew out to right field back in the second inning. His third inning just hasn't gone Schultz's way. Trying to get the outs here. 2-1 count on the way home. Misses inside for ball three. Never mind, that was called a strike. 2-2 the count there is... I missed the call on that one. Apologies there. So 2-2 the count, runner on second, and this pitch is taken low for ball number three. Well, the home plate umpire tonight taking a little bit of time on his called strikes. He sits up there for a couple of seconds and then makes the motion. So it's kind of a guessing job up here in the press box. 3-2 the count on the way home, and this one is ripped down the third baseline and just foul. On the ground there and nearly made it another extra base hit, but instead ends up as a foul ball, and we'll see pitch number 7 of the plate appearance coming up after this. And with that, Schultz is up to 30 pitches in the inning. So getting close to that pitches in an inning limit. 3-2 the count. Schultz looking back to second. Brings it home. It's a grounder over towards short. Carlson is there off the odd hop. He'll throw it on to first. Not picked up. Off the hop by Gaz. A run will come around to score. And it's 5-0 Rockers in the top of the third. And man, Wisconsin Rapids just... not able to get these plays. Officially goes as an E6. It's the third error for the Rafters. And that's just another tough one that couldn't quite go the Rafters' way. Should have ended the inning, but couldn't quite do it. And it brings up David Miza, the ninth batter of the inning, with a 5-run lead in the top of the third. First pitch gets a called strike number one. 0-1 the count to Miza, the left-handed hitting center fielder for Green Bay. He is 0-1 on the game as he struck out swinging back in the second. Fouls this one back and one strike away from striking out again. Schultz just trying to get out of this inning. Feels like he should have back in the third, so that final run that came across, also unearned. Owen to the count to Miza. Looks over to first, now brings it home. It's a fly ball high and should reach out of play. It will, as it bounces just next to the left side. 35 pitches in the inning for Kenny Schultz coming up next. Schultz looking over towards first. Couple of times. Now brings it home. Pitches high. Runner taking off to second. Throw on down. It's not in time. A stolen base. And Carlson thought that he had that tag, but not quite. As Kaysen Consarina makes it over to second. Runner in scoring position. 1-2 the count. And another stolen base for the Rockers. They've had back-to-back runners steal bases. And just trying to get out of this inning now. 1-2 the count. It's a check swing as it misses low and away, and Maud can't pick it up. So the runner going off to third base as now it's a runner just 90 feet away from scoring on officially a wild pitch by Kenny Schultz. 2-2 the count to Miza. Left-handed hitting center fielder, lefty-lefty matchup on the way. Swing and a miss for strike number three, and finally gets out of this third inning, but not before a ton of damage was done. There were five runs scored by the Rockers on three hits. There were also a couple of errors in that inning for the Rafters, as they had, I'm counting them up right now, they had two errors in the inning, and along with that, there was one runner left on base. So we head to the bottom of the third. It is 5-0 Rockers here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Summer is here, and construction zones are everywhere. With crews working diligently, it's crucial to stay vigilant for nails and screws on the road. After all, a flat tire can quickly derail your day. If you discover a nail or screw in your tire, head straight to 8th Street Auto. Their expert team will not only assess your tire, but also conduct a thorough inspection of your vehicle to help prevent future issues. Trust the certified professionals at 8th Street Auto to ensure your vehicle is in top shape so you can hit the road confidently and fully prepared for your next adventure.
Find your perfect fit at Mid-State Technical College. You wear many hats. Family, friends, hobbies, career, maybe more. Let Mid-State make finding your career hat easier with in-demand programs and certificates, flexible class scheduling, and unmatched support for your success. Even transfer your credits to a four-year university. Mid-State is here to help you find your perfect fit and make time for it all. Learn more at mstc.edu/perfectfit.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Well, hello everybody and welcome back into Rafters baseball here on WFHR. It's the bottom of the third. Rafters down 5-0. Royce Clayton Jr. fouls the first pitch high and off the roof of the press box to make it an 0-1 count. And in that third inning, it did not go the Rafters' way. Kenny Schultz unable to get out of the inning there and trying to get back on the right track here. The Rafters' offense hoping to get things rolling along as now at the plate, Clayton takes that one and swings and misses for strike number two. 0-2 the count, and the Rafters a couple of errors in this game as the 0-2 count misses for ball number one. It's now 1-2. And base is empty for the leadoff man here, and he sends a flare out toward shallow center field into no man's land, and it gets down for a hit. Clayton over to first base, and that's a smart move by first baseman Joe Manella as he goes over to second base to cover as everyone in the middle infield was out towards center field. Smart play there, and the Rafters, though, still do have a leadoff single. Royce Clayton Jr. on first base, nobody out. Here in the bottom of the third, Rafters still down five, and all five of those runs came across back in that third inning. And with this, a pickoff move back to first base, not quite able to get Clayton as he dives headfirst back into the bag. Now Jake Beauchesne at the plate, right-handed hitting left fielder. It's a righty-righty matchup with Long on the mound, and the first pitch to him misses outside for ball number one. 1-0 the count. Kareem Arusevic is on deck, waiting for him to come up. You'll switch to a left-handed batter for the next one. But Long going to try and deal with the righty here when he's got it. 1-0 the count. Pitch on the way home is sent over to the left side, and that sneaks on through into left field. Back-to-back hits from the rafters. And Royce Clayton Jr. heads on over to second base on it. It's the third hit of the game for the rafters. And it brings up Kareem Arusovic with runners on first and second. Nobody out. Bottom of the third. Still a five-run Green Bay Rockers lead over the Wisconsin Rapids rafters. A little bit of rain starting to come down here in Wisconsin Rapids, but it was raining a little bit earlier today, and we were able to get the field ready to go. But still a little damp, and so it will stay damp as the first pitch to Arusovic is in there for strike number one. Definitely a cool night here in Wisconsin Rapids as it started at about 74 degrees, and it's just continued to cool as both the sun has started to set and the rain has started to come down. Runners on first and second, 0-1 count. Pickoff move back to second base. And some of the players starting to pick up their stuff and move in undercover as an 0-1 count now stands to Arusovic. Long on the mound, looking back towards second. Hovering over is the shortstop, and now Long will bring home the pitch. It's fouled back as it moves to an 0-2 count. And you can see a bunch of rain off in the distance on the left side. And, well, I'm going to have to take down the crowd mic as the rain really starts to come in here into the press box. So going to have to make a switch here and trying to get everything set up in here. It's a ground ball towards the right side of the middle infield. Picked up. Throw on to first is in time. 4-3 on the putout. Takes care of Kareem Arusovic. And, well, with that, that is out number one. And the rain really starting to come down here. And so with that, we'll see if this game keeps on rolling. At the moment, it is. Everyone's still playing out here and got to make sure that my stuff doesn't get all too wet, so I apologize as I'll try and do some commentary while also working on moving my equipment around, getting it out of the rain cover. And with that, at the plate now stands Carson McIntyre, the guy from Oregon State. And McIntyre trying to keep up his hot recent stretch as Jake Beauchesne is on second base. On third is Royce Clayton Jr. And so two runners in scoring position with only one out in the bottom of the third. Rafters don't want to come up short here. They're down 5-0. McIntyre, the right-handed hitter. Long taking his time on the mound, looks back to second. Now brings the pitch home and gets a swing and a miss for strike number one. 0-1 the count. And McIntyre batting .348 on the season. I talked about what he did last time out. And with that, we're going to see quickly one of the coaches for Green Bay who was stepping out there and about to give him about to give Maddox Long a new scratch pad for his cleats. I like that term. I don't know if that's the official term, but I'll call it a scratch pad. And with that, we are going to officially stop play. So play is stopping as it looks like the tarp will come onto the field for the rafters. So a delay is being hit here between the rafters and the rockers. At the time of the delay, it is currently a 5-0 game. The Green Bay Rockers have the lead, and well, we'll see about a time for a return to play. However, with that, we are going to go ahead and hit a quick break, and when we return, it's time for more Rafters baseball, and well, hopefully we'll have an update for you on when we will get more Rafters baseball. That comes up next, but in the meantime, we are actually going to return you to regularly scheduled programming, just in the case that I need to pull the tarp, and so we'll return with more Rafters baseball after.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's so cool to think of when the market started. It was, I think, three vendors, three tents, a parking lot across the street, and now it's now it's what it is, which is like an event. It's kind of the place to see and be seen on the American Indian Corridor.
Absolutely. And the food truck was out there, and I got to finally take a few pictures of the great art on the Powwow Grounds food truck, which is so inspiring and such a and it's funny too. It's yellow too, just like the building. I just realized that.
Oh yeah, I know. That's intentional, I'm sure. Robert Rice, who owns Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, is the proprietor of the Brybed Factory food truck, and he just got it wrapped recently, and the community's super excited about that. And it is yellow like the building, like our building. And then he has honored a lot of our ancestors, our departed leadership, in art on the side, on one side. The other side has dancers, powwow dancers, and it's just really striking.
You know, it's funny, too. I recognize a few of the people for sure, and I know two of them, Frank, the late Frank Perro, and the late Clyde Belcourt, hung out at the coffee shop pretty often.
All the time. A lot of those AIM guys did. And so it's nice to honor them. Frank's wife, Dawn Perro, is often there. And she's made comments about I think Frank never knew, he never realized he'd be on the side of a food truck. You know, it's a cool way of honoring people.
Yeah, it really, really is. And I always loved the great vibe there. I got to see a few friends, and also, you know, get to see, being a former high school teacher, I always run into a few people were former students. But I also, too, run into, every time, it's funny, I run into people that that listen to the show. So it's like right on.
People like to listen. Oh, from one of the vendors today, I picked up a new choker. Showing it to you. And it's gorgeous, perfect colors for me. And I like this length. It's a little shorter. I have another one like this that was gifted to me that it just fits. You know, I have to wear a lot of, you know, dress shirts or, you know, and jackets and things. And that's just a really good length to go under that. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's great. I like that for me. Oh, wow.
We're here, I give it to you.
That's a tradition's kind of gotten watered down over the years, and we can talk about that for a second, but everyone seems to say, well, that was a gift. And so when somebody gives something, you can't gift it to somebody else. Right. Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, it's nobody on the air saw that, but the people that watch us on Facebook, and it's probably good to mention that we are on Facebook, YouTube, Blue Sky, and that you can watch us too, and laugh at my hairdo and my receding hairline and things like that. But it's always good for me, because since COVID, for sure, Robert, we haven't had guests in the studio, and this has been just a great way and an easy way to converse to relatives all over Turtle Island.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. And just how we've adapted, right, since COVID. Mm-hmm. Before COVID, you know, I had some online meetings, was part of national conversations and stuff. Then with COVID, of course, we've been 100%. Remote, and we just got so used to being online and seeing each other in little boxes, like I'm looking at you right now, and so now it's just about a third to half of my day today was in online meetings, with a fair amount of in person stuff, which is always nice, and you can get so much done. Your guest earlier, Ruth Buffalo, was in probably three online meetings with her today, maybe four, you know, so. Yeah, that's kind of the risk of doing online meetings, is you can have so many of them because you don't have to travel in between.
You know, it was great listening to Ruth Anna Buffalo. The last segment is, I always try to do this too, especially people that are intensely boots on the ground like yourself and her, is what do you do to protect your soul and rejuvenate and take care of your personal. And she said swimming, which I thought was great because I know she plays basketball from the old days. And so, Robert, what do you do?
So first off, with Ruth Buffalo, she is quite an athlete, and she's very strong and she's very competitive, I understand. I haven't competed with her, So one of my practices that I learned early on in my elected life when I was on the Minneapolis City Council was I am very deliberate about understanding myself in my role, my public role, and then really separating that from my sort of self, my private self. And, you know, I was taught at Kennedy School to be deliberate about it, to be ritual, almost ritualistic, right? And so that I'm clear when I'm being in my role and, you know, the public stuff that I do, and when I'm being myself, my private stuff. And I know it sounds kind of goofy and maybe a little mystical, but it's, I think, really protected me through this, you know, sometimes bumpy or whatever, turbulent kind of public life, elected life, things like that. And so for me, it's closed, right? So when I'm going out to be Robert Lilligren, the city council member, Met Council member, or CEO, you know, it's what I put on. And then when I come home, I put on what I think of as my play clothes, right? When we were kids. Mm-hmm. And then I'm home. I'm me, right? And sometimes those have to blend, but it's a good survival technique for me to really be clear when I'm public Robert and when I'm private.
That's funny. A couple things. Wendy introduced me 20 some years ago to loungewear, and that's what I'm wearing right now. And also, I have to be careful, Robert, because COVID did something. You know, when I was a high school teacher, I showered and shaved every day, and now it's sometimes 2 or 3 days. I kind of forget that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, thanks for the warning there, Robert. That is, it's funny. My husband had just retired maybe, 2 months ago now? Yeah. We're just talking about that this morning and the importance of committing to a hygiene regimen when he's retired. Otherwise, no one's going to want to hang out around you.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because it's kind of stupid, but I work out in the morning, and then of course I don't want to shower before that. And then all of a sudden I just push it off. And next thing you know, 2 days have gone by and my hair's greasy. I'm greasy. Yeah. And, yeah, I better take a shower no matter what.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Right. And online, who really cares? I remember when we first started working remotely, I think I had 14 different online meeting apps on my work computer here, my laptop. I think it was 14. And they would kind of interfere with each other and things would get complicated. So now I'm down to very few. You know, I have of course, Zoom, everyone has it, Teams, everyone has it, occasionally a Google Meet, and then the StreamYard here, and that's about it. But yeah, it was a new world back then.
Yeah.
And you only had to dress, you know, appropriately. It was waist up, something, you know, presentable, waist down, sweats, right?
Well, it was interesting too. I don't know if you saw this, but years ago, and I think it was right in the middle of COVID, there was a person who had a cat app on, and he was in court and he couldn't get it off. And that just popped up on my feed again.
That was hilarious. Lots of good memes came out of that era.
Yeah. And my former producer, Ogama, gave me a cup too that says "you're on mute," so I could show that to the people that were on. But that's, you know, heck, now I'm on mute more than the guests.
I only did one big off mute blunder during that whole era. I think that's pretty good.
Oh, do tell.
What's that?
Do tell.
Yeah. I was in a group meeting and something was said that surprised me. And so I thought I was off mute, and I turned to my husband, Steve, and I said, "Yes, person X just dumped all over me," or something like that. And which, you know, isn't that unusual when you're in leadership and stuff, but I wouldn't have said it to the whole group.
Right.
The facilitators are being said, "I'm sorry, what? What? Did someone say something?"
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. In Central Texas, after flash flooding that has killed at least 121 people with more than 170 others unaccounted for, Fredericksburg Fire Marshal Reagan Rabke says,
"The 300 responders that we have working on the river today, they are going methodically from pile to pile and going through it to try to find everybody's loved ones.
Debris piles up to 30 feet high. Mahmoud Khalil's lawyers file a claim for $20 million in damages against the Trump administration, alleging that he was falsely imprisoned by ICE. The campus protester says an audio provided by his family...
I'm fighting for a better world for my son and for everyone. But that's why I will continue to do that.
A federal judge in New Hampshire pauses President Trump's birthright citizenship order, granting class action certification. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
It's a pretty clear indication that the courts continue to think that President Trump violated the Constitution.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You're cruising along Highway 54, you're jamming out to your favorite song, you slow down for a red light when out your passenger window, another car revs their engine wanting you to race.
The Brewers dominated the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a night off after a dramatic 3-2 win over the Dodgers in extra innings, over 33,000 fans in the stands. Milwaukee with great pitching this week from Peralta, Mizorowski, and Jose Quintana. To complete the sweep, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana just stepped up. He wasn't going to be outdone by anyone. Gave us 6 innings, 2 hits or something like that. And the whole bullpen with McGill, Uribe, Koenig, Anderson, Mears, Ashby.
The Brewers closer Trevor McGill found out he's headed to the All-Star game next week. I asked Dodgers manager Dave Roberts what he thought the Brewers are doing best.
It's a team that play defense really well. Offensively, they just create havoc. They steal, they bunt, they hit and run, they don't strike out much. You know, there's going to be balls in play. Pat does a good job with the roster as far as trying to maximize and create offense, you know, with that ball club.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mariska Hargitay has experienced an almost unprecedented run as an actor on the show Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And now she has a director's credit as well. She is the creative force behind a documentary about her late mother, Jane Mansfield, called My Mom Jane. The Hollywood Reporter is now saying the documentary will be eligible for the Oscars since it's been revealed that it had a short theatrical run at a North Hollywood movie theater last week. My Mom Jane is available to stream on HBO and is getting very good reviews. Sarah Jessica Parker feels she had to defend herself for not endorsing a political candidate publicly. The And Just Like That and Sex and the City star told Nicole Wallace on her podcast she didn't believe social media was the place for quick political conversations. To her credit, Parker says she's not going to go into an argument unless she is totally educated on an issue. Imagine that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight and tomorrow with occasional showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the upper 60s, high tomorrow mid-80s. A storm or two still possible Saturday, then drying out for the weekend with a drop in humidity. Currently at 75 degrees.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll have our regular Week in Review panel. Dr. Kristen Lierley talks about her weekend show, and Mike Clemens will preview the Brewers National Series.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hey-cha, wait-cha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and pretty based on the Franklin Avenue Native Corridor and all the great work that's happening. Now, I want to switch gears here a little bit. And I don't know, it's been a few days and, you know, we get into this 24-hour news cycle. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it since Monday about Ann Coulter and her comments about we should have killed more Indians. Your thoughts, and or do you even want to comment on that?
It's so foul, and I'm not going to say her name because I don't want to advance her whatever profile. But you know, it's shocking. It's disgusting. It's so not what a decent person says. And so in today's biggest daily here in the Twin Cities, the Minnesota Star Tribune, there was an op-ed piece by Anton Troyer about it. And you know, that's what it is. And he's very smart and learned. And I don't read the comments at the Star Tribune anymore since I was in public office because they're just, there's no, yeah, they're so foul, right? So I don't read it. But one of my staff was saying, What really bugged them was how many people agreed with the commenter, right? And I mean, that's what's so scary about these times we're living in. I mean, these feelings were always there, but decency kind of kept them a little more submerged. And now people feel that they have free rein to be as disgustingly racist as they want to be.
Yeah, a really good point. And I believe that, it's really come from the top down. And again, I bring this up all the time, but I remember when the first time around that the orange one was president, there were red hats going on that said, make racists afraid again. And it's the opposite right now. And you're kind of alluding to carte blanche of being able to say anything mean to anyone and that they've been feeling the whole time and feeling slighted and attacking people and a lot of times vulnerable people.
Right. And then these comments and these statements that come from high profile leadership, like our current president, empower people, right? They empower people to act. And when you have a sitting president doing a speech, I think it was in Iowa this week, wasn't it? Where he said, I hate Democrats. I hate them. So first off, the president's supposed to represent everybody in the country, so I don't know where anyone would think they could get off saying something like that. But then his audience, who we know, you know, are quick to violence and quick to respond, that gives them permission, right, to act on this hate. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a very dangerous way to manipulate power.
Right. And, you know, we have to keep talking about this because, again, you know, sometimes I believe our mainstream media has really normalized things like this and that we have to talk about how wrong it is and how hurtful it is and how, you know, the Democratic Party has their problems, but empathy, I don't think, is one of them.
Right, right. And then you have major news platforms or networks that are capitulating to the president, that are settling lawsuits for huge sums of money that they... You know, they would be the ones I would hope would be the defenders of a free press, right? But instead, they're just succumbing.
Yeah. Well, and the sad part two of this week was what happened in Texas. And I truly believe, and it's hard, there's two things that I believe about what happened in Texas with the floods. One is global warming, and two is the cuts that the administration has made to the weather people.
Those two things contribute, and then this kind of cultural unwillingness to invest in safety measures, right? One of the officials on the ground in Texas said, well, the taxpayers wouldn't pay for an alarm system. And, I mean, this is why we elect people to do this for us, to do what's right, instead of what the voters care about, or not care about, but their positions. And so I think there was a long time, a lead up to allow for a catastrophe like this. And well, now as more investigation comes forward, there's a lot of things that were wrong with the campsite, for example, that people shouldn't have been sleeping where they were, and mm-hmm. and then you have these Republicans saying, "Oh, this isn't a time to point fingers. This isn't right. a time to assign blame." So, well, that would be the first thing you would do, where, right. you know, when there were fires in Los Angeles, right? It was yeah. the governor's fault, the mayor's fault, the Biden's fault, right? Biden's fault, right?
Yeah.
So, I guess, you know, what do we say? What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, you know? Somebody should be accountable.
It's interesting, too, Robert. They said the same thing whenever there's a mass shooting, that we shouldn't be talking about. Well, when should we? It's fresh in people's mind, and we talk about a 24-hour cycle. I have a question. When you were a city council member, and I just ended my term as a Ho-Chunk legislator. Yeah, I made it through the 4 years, and I got a matter of fact, I should have talked to you today when I saw you, but I might see if I can run again. Somebody is running for Congress that's a legislator out of a District 1, and I want to see, we'll talk off camera here.
All right, let's talk.
But I had a question. When you were city council, when you had to make tough decisions, you didn't worry about the vote or being reelected. You worried about doing the right thing. Isn't that what you were alluding to earlier?
You know, that's exactly right, Robert. And my experience, and I know people have different experiences, but, you know, I would vote in the best interest of the city and the best interest of my constituents. Sometimes it wasn't even with positions that I would necessarily personally agree with. But again, I wasn't just there to represent myself. I was there to represent 33,000 people and as part of a city of, you know, nearly 500,000. But what I learned was that, you know, I would come to decisions, especially controversial ones or difficult ones. You know, I'd be as informed as I can. I would engage with my constituents as much as I could and then get to my decision. And if I could stand in front of my constituents and explain my pathway and my thinking to the vote that I took or the position that I stated, even if people didn't agree with me at the end of the day, they were on some level satisfied, right? Mm-hmm. That I wasn't being arbitrary, that I wasn't representing special interests, that I was being thoughtful. And you know, I really respected constituents, especially when they didn't agree with me, when we could stand there and express our differing opinions and respect them, right? Yeah. And at the end of the day, I was the one with the election certificate on the wall. I was the one that was accountable for those right. decisions that I made.
Yeah, and I know from my experience, sometimes it's hard. And one of the things that came out on TikTok, and I just want to touch base with this and not really dwell in it, but as you know, some of the nations gave money to Trump's parade and not the army parade, but the parade.
That,
yeah. The inaugural parade. Thank you. And my nation did too. And $50,000. And that's a lot of money, but also I hate to tell you how much we gave the Republicans the Democrats was way more than that. And you always want to keep your toe in the water because you are going to have to work with these people and you can't right. shun them, but there's some backlash happening out there, the other tribes that gave a heck of a lot more than Ho-Chunk did, but still it was a hard decision, but it was a political decision.
Right. And so, you know, I'm not the one making that decision and I want to really acknowledge that. And so the tribe has to do what they think is best for the tribe. And there's a certain amount of access or potential access that mm-hmm. a contribution like that can generate. $50,000 is a lot of money. I would say just give it to the people, but you know, that wasn't my choice. And the tribe needs to be accountable to its citizens for doing that. And so I'm sure they deliberated long and hard.
You know,
like you said, it's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money in the grand scheme, right? A lot of people contributed a lot more. And then to me, there's the contribution, but then there's how the tribe behaves, right?
Right.
Does it still uphold indigenous values? Does it still respect its citizens and its non-citizens and respect people? Or did it just throw the DEI baby out with the bathwater, like so many corporations and other organizations have been willing to do.
Absolutely. Well, and to make that clear, that was my vote. I was one of the people, but I did vote against it, but that it did pass, and the legislature of Ho-Chunk Nation did give the money to Trump. But there's things that you have to do, you like to say, to have a door open for you, for your people. And believe you me, I got a few texts and calls yesterday when that was brought up all over TikTok.
In favor of the contribution or in favor of your no vote?
They wanted to know what happened, and I had just told them the situation. I didn't really say, well, I voted no, and the Twin Cities people voted no, and we didn't win because at the time there was 13 legislators voting on it. And it's just hard, and we have to agree that we did this. We can't hide from what we've done.
Right. And those difficult votes, you know, sometimes they are, even those opposition votes, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I had the experience where I was just keeping a door open for the next conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would rarely vote yes just to get along. Almost never. I mean, I can remember one kind of interesting vote, but you know, I found that sometimes it's harder to vote no, right? I'd have to be better prepared to defend my position and things. And I remember my first big no vote, and I remember joking, or I wasn't joking, but someone said, oh, you got to go take that vote now, right? And I'm like, yep, I'm going to go down with a yelp, right? I'm not going quietly. So it's an interesting place to be when you're representing the interests of other people.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, and everyone laughed when I said this, and I said this a lot. And they thought I was a comedian too, somewhat. But I'd say, you know, in a good way. You know, we're doing this in a good way, and I truly believe that our heart is in it for the people, and we need to protect our own people. And well, you know, you're retired, and you also have a lot of people that you mentor in the political realm, so you know how it goes.
I'm retired from elected office, not from work.
Oh, no, you're not. You're never going to retire. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. I got Robert Lilligren with us, Native American Community Development Institute and White Earth Ojibwe citizen. We'll be right back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The easy all-in-one plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Four Sisters are more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Raptors Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball on WFHR.
Well, bad news as we bring you back into the Raptors broadcast. It's been a while since I've been on the air, and, well, we bring you back in here to Witter Field, where it officially was postponed. The game tonight will be suspended, I should say, as it will resume tomorrow at 3.05 p.m. So that will be the resumption of this game. It will be a doubleheader tomorrow. Game number two going to go 30 minutes after the conclusion of game number one. And where we left off in game number one, it was 5-0 Rockers. However, the Raptors had runners on first and second. Actually, pardon me, second and third with only one out and Carson McIntyre at the plate. He's got an 0-1 count. And when we'll resume tomorrow, he will be at bat trying to get his first hit of the game. And it'll be a doubleheader between both the Raptors and the Rockers. And the Raptors going to have two chances to get back into the win column tomorrow. But, of course, they have to take down a tough Green Bay lineup. And, well, the Rockers showed that off in the top of the third inning, scoring all five of their runs in that frame. And, well, the Raptors unable to respond just yet, but they haven't been given a full opportunity. So they'll have the rest of the game tomorrow to look at that. So the resumption of this game, it will be a full nine innings for game number one. Game number two, I believe, will be seven innings. And getting confirmation on that, yes, it will be. So that game going to be a little bit shorter. But once again, it will be taking place 30 minutes after the conclusion of game number one. So game number one taking place 3.05 p.m. That means a pregame show will be coming your way at 2.50 p.m. on WFHR. And hopefully we'll be able to bring you a pregame interview and get you that coming your way. As well, the Raptors today did not have the ability to score a run just yet, but they're setting themselves up in a pretty good position to do so for tomorrow's game. But that's going to do it for our broadcast tonight. So thank you for tuning in and for sticking with us this whole time. But the game will resume tomorrow one last time. It's 5-0 in the bottom of the third with one out and runners on second and third. Carson McIntyre at the plate. When we resume tomorrow at 3.05 p.m. pregame show 2.50 here on WFHR. And for myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you, and have a great rest of your night.
To reflect these indigenous values in your policymaking, and I like that. And one of the things that it acknowledges is that our seven-county metropolitan area here in Minneapolis-St. Paul is home to 150 different tribes.
Yeah.
Different recognized tribes, right? And it was so good to get that number, because mm-hmm. I would often say 50 or 100. I didn't know. Now we know.
Right.
150 tribes live here in the Twin Cities. And so that's in our land, water, and people acknowledgement, that number. So a couple weeks back, I was invited to be part of a roundtable at the American Indian Center here in Minneapolis that was convened by the Federal Reserve, the Minneapolis Federal Reserve. And there are like something like 12 regional Federal Reserve offices and I think maybe another couple dozen branches. But Minneapolis is unique in that system that we have what's called the Center for Indian Country Development, which is both reservation and tribal development and urban development. And so Kansas City Federal Reserve wanted to convene some urban Indian leadership here and just talk about how development looks here and what's successful, what works, what doesn't. And there were representatives from some other kind of center of the country. Oklahoma City Federal Reserve, I think, was represented. Mm-hmm. And others, and it was just a fascinating dialogue, and we shared a lot. I mean, we had a lot of the stellar leadership here that works in these areas, and I think these Federal Reserve representatives got more than they bargained for, right? but one of the things they had was a document they had generated that referenced the 50 tribes within Minnesota, right? There's 50 different tribes. And it was funny because then we were talking about Native visibility, Native invisibility, right? Mm-hmm. And I pulled that out as an example out of their own document. And I said, yeah, so through work we've done at Met Council, we've identified 150 different tribes just here in our metropolitan area. And I said, so with your number of 50, you just disappeared 100 tribes.
Right.
So it was a real life example of invisibility, of cultural colonization, elimination. So interestingly, the person who drafted that document was at the table, at this table. And he said, that was me. I, published that. He said, now I know better. If you can direct me to this research, we'll correct that. And it's kind of removed from maybe the work you thought you were doing when you serve on the Metropolitan Council, American Indian Advisory Council. But we were impacting federal perspective through that work. So I just want to point that out because it's kind of obscure, but it's very tangible, very real.
Yeah, and I think some of the information we got was from Minneapolis Public Schools that had a lot of that documentation, right?
Yep, that and most of the most of the nonprofits here maintain lists of different tribes, and but it's nice to have that 150 number. I use it all the time now. I do all the time.
And I heard too, 75,000 in the Twin Cities, Native Americans, and this is the largest, urban area in the United States now.
Oh, okay, interesting. I haven't seen that, but good to know and good to hear. And the other piece is that we are actually a growing community, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this kind of narrative that we're relegated to history and we're dying out, diminishing and diminishing population. And that's not a fact. We're a growing population here in this country. As a matter of fact, one of the fastest growing populations.
Wow, that's really cool to hear, because I really believe that there's more of us that's been counted over the years. And I know with the census the last time, there was a big jump in numbers, because I think a lot of people were more trusty of the government.
Right. Agree. So counting a census is hard. And, you see these commercials on TV for that genetic testing, right? And they sometimes feature someone who learns that they're 26% Native American or 27%. And my husband would say, how could they not know? I mean, look at that person. You can tell they're Native. And I said, well, they're for, their generation or their parents, it was risky to identify as Native. I go, that is not an uncommon story in our community. And I always thought it was interesting that the numbers that they show on those ads are always just over 25%, right?
Yeah.
So they're aware of blood quantum and the issue, data debate and issues around blood quantum. That's very common for people to not know that they're Native.
Right. Or myself, as you know, I'm an adoptee, and not knowing what tribe or how much and how much I could say, because I wasn't brought up in the community.
Right. Right. And it's not an uncommon story. And then these relatives who are just discovering their heritage, they have to find their way back to culture just like we do. Right. And so, do we help them there, or do we resent them for passing for so long, or it's a complicated community?
It very much so is. And I appreciate you bringing this up again, and the great work that you do in the Met Council. And I guess
locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, Jim Santel. We discuss the big takeaways from the United States Supreme Court's last term. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh. Really? You can't escape a lot of things in life,
But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at Do I Have Prediabetes?
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Rescue teams are checking huge debris piles along the Guadalupe River, looking for more than 170 people missing after deadly flooding in central Texas. CBS's Karen Juan.
While officials have not outright come out and declared this a recovery mission, the last known survivor was found 7 days ago.
A federal judge in New Hampshire issues an injunction against President Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship and certifies a class action lawsuit. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
I think there is a good chance that this executive order never goes into effect because it's tied up in litigation.
The four members of SpaceX Crew's 11 mission are targeted to launch late this month or in early August. NASA astronaut Zena Cardman says they've been training since last September.
What that has meant for us is an incredible bond that is rooted in gratitude and resilience.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.